This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
People lose so much money because they understand how companies are taken public and what to do with public companies. And there's so many ways that the hedge funds, the family offices are making tons of money, ridiculous returns, taking advantage of entrepreneurs, investors, credited and unaccredited, because they just don't understand how all these people make money and who's paying for that. You know, if people in a market are making a lot of money, that means somebody's losing a lot of money. That's a market. There's two sides to every market. And so I have searched from being a CEO of a public company for over 30 years for the right people that understand how to be on the right side of taking a company public, of being public and going public and staying public. And so after traveling the world and listening for what people are listening for, I had so many questions that people just have no clue. And they see things that are just so untrue about, I'm investing in this company because they're going to go public. And I'll say, well, what does it take to go public on the NASDAQ or on the NYSE or on the Canadian stock? I'm not sure you understand what you're investing in. So how can you align it with your timing and risk tolerance? So I sought after somebody that I trust with integrity to teach us and to ask questions of what exactly does this mean? What should I do? And so Ennis Capital is a company that's been making almost 50% returns. I make ridiculous. They must know what side of the market to fall on, because I'll tell you one thing about the market, the public market, it sucks. And to find someone who's making money in a shitty market must understand, like I said, not everybody loses money in a market. You know, watch The Big Short. There were some dudes that in the worst financial crisis that we've seen in our lifetime made a shitload of money while everybody else, what? Lost money. Where do you think that money went? To the shorts. People made the money on the other side of the market. You can't have a market with one side. And so I brought those experts in, Ramon, here. But before we bring on the amazing Peter Goldstein, the expert of public companies, I'm going to hand it off to my man, the Nick of Wom, Wamstander, well-oiled machine. Nobody makes me more productive, accessible, and gracious in my life. It's a marriage problem, Ramon, because if I travel with my wife, she's so inefficient that it takes away from the joy of travel, because I don't have Nick Wom with me, making sure that my travels are a well-oiled machine. I'm lucky that she's so amazing that I can get over my obsessive, compulsive, time management. So let's all rejoice in the Nick of Wom. Nick of Wom, thank you for hosting us. Set up, please.
Absolutely. And happy Friday, everybody. Of course, we are here for an incredible, another Friday thing in Power Hour. It'll be 25 years this October that David's been doing these trainings. And we are live here, not only online, streaming everywhere with thousands and thousands and thousands of registrants, but of course, live here with the Breakfast of Champions and Clubhouse as well. As David mentioned, for the first half hour of today's training and Power Hour, we are going to learn from the best between Peter Goldstein and David, teaching us how to take a company public, and then open it the second half for Q&A. So as you have your questions for David today, of course, if you are online, make sure to put them in the chat. And if you are live here on Club, to use the hand in the lower right-hand corner to request to join the stage, and we will, of course, aim to bring you up. I know David mentioned our incredible dinner that we had last night in New York City, and we have some didn't even mention the dinner. We had an incredible meetup and another very successful VIP dinner. And I can tell you, we have an incredible July in store, whether it's the 15th on Monday at SoFi Stadium in LA hosting a mastermind, and of course, we have the big one. Friday, July 19th, the collab, Dane Cook and David Meltzer. You can get your tickets now on Ticketmaster.com. That'll, of course, be at YouTube Theater. And then we will be back in New York City on July 20th for the Aspire Tour, hosting another VIP dinner. So if you would like to join David in person, all you have to do is reach out. David@dmeltzer.com. And of course, you can join the text community as well. Get the reminders on where David is going to be. And that, of course, is just 949-298-2905. Oh, I will go ahead and turn it over to the geniuses themselves so they can empower us on how to take a company public.
Just as a little additive, the collab, we actually are blessed because I can't overlook the fact that Rob Riggle, one of my dear friends, is going to host and MC it, and people like Baron Davis, Mark Falk, Maria Diamond, oh my goodness, Diane Cannon, and so many others are coming to collaborate with us. And so Dane and I will be collaborating with the audience at SoFi Stadium's YouTube Theater. Go to Ticketmaster. And then the next day, flying overnight with to go to MG, so speaking at Madison Square Garden with the Aspire Tour, Damon John, Mr. Wonderful, A-Rod, Big Poppy, so many others inspiring. Tim Story, of course, who's at every single one of those with me. And then maybe on the way, I might stop by WealthCon. I've been invited to speak there with Ryan Pineda. We'll see if the Womnick and the wife are up for a serious weekend of inspiration. Speaking of inspiration, this guy inspires me every day. Not only does he inspire me, but he makes me a lot of money. He helps a lot of people, and he has a lot of fun doing it. If you're not familiar, as Clinton Sparks says, get familiar with Peter Goldstein. Welcome to Friday Training, Peter.
Happy Friday, Dave. Great to see you. Nick, thank you.
Sad to see that you're not in New York with me, where we often get to see each other in person. And many of our friends last night, Mark Colston, Bucky O'Neill, Moose Burger himself, Brandon Veldman, all Peter Tushman, all asking, where's the other Peter? And I said, well, he's making us money. Take a deep breath. Anyway, let's start off. Give me a little bit of background about how you got to Ennis Capital and what it was that motivated you to elevate the awareness about public company.
Yeah, it's interesting, Dave, as background. So I'm 61. I started my first company at 24, and I had my first exit at 30. And after that exit, I started exploring how people are making money in M&A and going public. And I saw a lot of people making a lot of money, and I saw, to your opening, a lot of people losing a lot of money. And so I really decided to immerse myself into the field of taking companies public with integrity and with the founders and the investors all winning. It doesn't have to be a one-sided trade, right? You can actually set this up where all parties win and all parties benefit. So during the course of the then next 25 years of my life, this has been my area of focus and expertise. I was a licensed investment banker, which I started my own firm from scratch. I've taken my own companies public, took my first company to NASDAQ about 10 years ago. And during the course of all this, my entire focus has been on how to develop strategies for emerging growth companies to access capital that's transformational in nature, as well as from the investor side, which is Ennis Capital, for the investors to make a significant return on investment while satisfying the need for clean, high quality, non-dilutive, non-toxic capital.
And those were a lot of great adjectives when we're talking about investment. Not being able to dilute it is one of the things that I think people overlook in all investments. They get very excited, including the founders. I've raised upwards of $40 million for companies over the years and been in those raises as an advisor, not a broker dealer like you are, but as an advisor. And the fears as an advisor to the founder was that you are setting this up that you will be diluted out of the deal. And as you suggest, there's so many things that we need to learn, because it's one simple thing that we don't know that changes the entire investment. And this investment that we're talking about, when I was with Lee Steinberg, was a very successful company, but family and friends, the founders and the family and friends, so you know there was good intention when they took their money, ended up with nothing, and the board voted out the CEO, the founder, and he ended up not only with nothing, but with no control and no participation in his own company. What are some of these subtle but yet obvious things that you've learned over the years? And I've learned some of them, but not nearly as many as you. What are some of these things when you talk about those adjectives, if you could go by them one-on-one, that make what MS Capital does so valuable to me and so many others, that you've taken away the dummy tax of, hey, did you know that you don't have any voting rights? So slowly but surely, the founder can just sell off all the shares and still control the company and get greater personal gain while he leaves people in the wind, or other things may exist. So let's go through some of those adjectives that make the distinction of MS Capital and what you've learned comparatively, people put their money in and end up with nothing.
Yeah. So there, you talk about the dummy tax, Dave. There's I've paid, you know, multiples, exponential amounts of dummy tax over the years. And part of my mission, as I know it is yours, is to share that knowledge, right? So the next generation doesn't make the same mistakes. And in going public, yes, there are so many variables. And one misstep can cause a significant setback. And not just in we'll take a few of those. So the first one is your capital structure. You know, when people are building their shareholder base, and so for those, you know, that aren't as knowledgeable, the capital structure is really the number of shares, the type of shares, and the amount of shares that are issued, and the value of those shares. That makes up your entire capital structure. And that's typically done in the form of common stock, you know, maybe some preferred stock. But to keep it simple for this discussion, you know, the goal is for the founder and those early shareholders to maintain voting control of the corporation, right? So they're basically in charge. And anytime you would sell more stock, you're diluting the amount of ownership. And then when that goes below 51%, then you need to go to shareholder vote. So all along the way, so one of the tips and techniques that I would utilize is set up a control block of shares. And that's completely within the norm at an early stage or emerging growth company, so that the founder always has, and the board have the ability to have control. And those are set up as preferred shares that have super voting rights. So those super voting rights allow that founder to be able to maintain control until a certain point. You know, there's a point in time where the company matures and develops and brings in, at that point, typically institutional capital. So we're not talking about venture capital. We're not talking about private equity. You know, we're talking about companies going through the process of preparing for listing on a senior exchange such as NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange. And there's qualitative and there's quantitative components. And we can, you know, talk about both of those. Our work is really to prepare the company, educate the CEO so that they don't make those mistakes before you even begin to get to the execution. You know, everybody gets excited when they want to do an IPO. It's the dream of so many entrepreneurs to be standing at NASDAQ or standing at the New York Stock Exchange and be at the bell ringing, right? I've done so many, Dave, as I know you have. It's a thrill. There's no more exciting to me. It's like the Super Bowl of an entrepreneur, right? It's like showing up at Super Bowl, at game day, you know, with the coin toss and the rockets and the whole show, right? Getting there is really a critical pathway of execution. But just like in any other scenario, you have to prepare before and be educated before you can properly execute. So we can pick apart, you know, one of the book that I wrote breaks all this down for entrepreneurs so that they can understand without having to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars and go through years and years of hardship to figure it out. There's never before been written a very practical guide for an entrepreneur to be able to take their company public. And so that's part of my commitment, is to educate and make available information so that other entrepreneurs can access the capital markets in such a way that is beneficial to them, transformational in the nature of the growth of their enterprise, and to benefit all of the investors and the stakeholders.
And speaking of your book, not to put you on the spot, but if you do have it, hold it up, because we're blessed to put this at the airports, hotel rooms, where people actually buy books. Go ahead, hold it up if you have it. And if, there we go. Name of it is, of course, The Entrepreneur's IPO, because it is the dream. And I've had that dream. And it's kind of like the dream of having a lot of employees and a lot of overhead. Think you're successful, and you realize you've just condemned yourself if you don't know what you're doing. Because in order to be successful, why don't we do this? Just because I want people to be educated. Open up your book right there, and just, if you wouldn't mind, reading off the table of contents, so I can pick and choose some of the things that I know our community, as that book is a guided. And where can people get the book while you're opening in it?
Yeah, so the book's available on Amazon, but more importantly, Dave, for any of your listeners, we're going to make an electronic download available for free. So if you
where do they get that at?
Just hit me up on LinkedIn. Let me know you were on the show, and we'll make the arrangements to get that done.
Perfect. And if you need any contact information for Peter, david@dmeltzer.com, you can email me directly, as well as I will throw in my book. So anyone that wants The Entrepreneur's IPO Guide, I'll throw in my book, pay for the hardback copy book, the paperback, but hard copy with the book and shipping and the ebook for Peter, so that everybody gets a complimentary mind guide to the pragmatic practices that we're going to talk about here in the table of contents. Go ahead, just read through that table of contents for me, Peter.
Right. So there are 12 chapters, Dave. The first is why you should consider an entrepreneur's IPO. The second, and these are all titled, you know, to be compelling, let the games begin. It's about starting the process. Third is putting the puzzle together, meaning all the different components that are required. The fourth is assembling the dream team. The fifth is positioning your company story. The sixth, building the board and governance. Seven, finding a bank you can bank on, meaning your investment banking and underwriter. Chapter eight, one that you'll love, Dave, called Show Me the Money.
I thought it was the Dave Meltzer chapter.
Number
what
nine,
is Show Me the Money about? How to make money in the market?
This book is specifically organized around the entrepreneur accessing capital, right? So
okay,
it's
good.
Really about the formation of capital, the capital stack, and then being able to understand the mechanics of how that works in an IPO. Right. So a little bit of different side, because this is geared towards the issuer and the CEO as opposed to the investor, which is the other, you know, portion of my life. Number nine, are you really ready? Do you really understand what's about to happen when you go public? Number 10, it's showtime, meaning it's time to take your show out on the road and to pitch investors. How do you position yourself in front of investors? Chapter 11, you've arrived, meaning it's now time to go ring the bell. And then chapter 12, it's official. Now what? Meaning what happens to you after you've rung the bell and now you have a trading company.
All right, so we're going to make sure everybody here, and you know, we're blessed that over 100,000 people registered, so that's a lot of ebooks and paperbacks going out for us today and on all platforms. So I'm listening to 12 chapters, and I haven't read the book in a little while because I was blessed to be a part of the book, and so I wanted to refresh myself as well. As an entrepreneur, all of those chapters to me were compelling, as you suggest, but a few of them really resonated with me. And one of them that came out was, are you really ready? Because, you know, I remember so many people when I was the CEO of a company say, you know, what's your exit strategy or what's this? I said, whoa. For me, it's very simple. My job as a CEO of either a one-person company, a sole practitioner, or as I've been a CEO of a multi-billion dollar company, is to provide shareholder value. And if you read Jack Welch, that could mean just playing with the numbers so that he provides a stable report every quarter that someday someone at EE had to pay for, as history has shown. But for me, the one that resonated most for training is, are we really ready? What is in that chapter something that everyone wants to know about, hey, there's some basics about if you're ready or not. A lot of people lie to themselves.
Yeah. So let me expand even on your definition. I look at it more than just the shareholders, but the stakeholders. So I go a little wider because I really believe that business has evolved beyond just the investors and the shareholders. Stakeholders meaning all of the people that the corporation is touching, right? So that could include your employees, it could be include your clients, you know, your customers, you know, your community. It's a much wider thought process, which I'm really a believer in, and I know you are as well, Dave, that it goes beyond just the financial components. So I'll just, you know, start there. But being ready, so there's two components, you know, the qualitative and the quantitative. Most people's focus on the quantitative, meaning, do I meet the listing requirements? You know, there are very specific metrics, 15 million shareholder equity, $5 million in 15 million dollars in public float, 5 million in shareholder equity, you know, $4 stock price. I could go through all of them. It's not really critical for today, but do you have your board in place? Do you have your audit in place? You know, there are a whole series of very black and white quantitative components that are required. And those on average take about a year, just so people have an understanding. We like to start 12, 18, 24 months out from when you want to have your listing. And in today's environment, you know, my advice to everybody is start sooner rather than later, because when the market reopens, you want to be ready, right? And as an investor, that's also what we're doing. We're investing in companies that are ready and can demonstrate a pathway to liquidity. And those are those mechanical kind of listing metrics. The most difficult one typically is the financial audit. Every one of these companies has to have an SEC qualified or PCAOB audit. That audit can typically take 6 months, 9 months, depending on the complexity, you know, of your business. So we start there as one of the very practical component. But for this conversation, Dave, I'd like to focus on the qualitative side, because I think it's where most people fail to look. And where does that really go? It goes into the culture of the company. It goes to an understanding of how to really go from a private organization. You know, I did it as an entrepreneur. I was very focused on, as the CEO and founder, of running the company the way that I saw best fit. It's what most entrepreneurs will do. And then migrate from there into being accountable to a board of directors, to a board of advisors, right, to corporate governance, and to regulatory. And the most difficult one is the transparency. You know, you now have to report your financials every quarter with full transparency in all the activities that you're doing. Some things that people may consider trade secrets or business secrets or proprietary are now being exposed. So there's a period, and I like to use, Dave, in our world, just the sports analogy of practicing, you know, doing reps. You know, you're not going to show up for the Super Bowl without running many practices, many scenarios, many kind of components of getting your team and your organization ready to be able to go to that primary event and then perform and win, right? So the qualitative component really is about the organization, the people, the culture, you know, the knowledge necessary to act and function as a sustainable public company, not just to get to the game, but to actually win once you're in the game and on the playing field.
Yeah, it's so interesting because that sports analogy for me holds, because I see a lot of people win the first quarter or win the half or even the third quarter or even be winning at the 2 minute warning, but they haven't won. And there's all of those points of reference where guidance is necessary. And it is something that mentorship is so important in picking the right guide, not only the book that you have, which in the notes, by the way, you're going to be bombarded here. So that's a good thing for the Entrepreneur's IPO Guide. And I wanted you to read through the table of contents, because I think a lot of people simplify things in their mind in a romanticized way. And for an entrepreneur, going public is a very romantic thing. And, you know, it is a it's like marriage. You know, I am more in love with my wife than ever. But the chapters that I've had to learn about in order to stay married and to make it to a winning marriage is exactly that IPO. Now, one of the other things that confuses people are the different markets. You have the Canadian market and pump and dump type of opportunities. You have an over-the-counter, what's called the OTC, which is a whole different microcap community. You have the NYSE, you have the NASDAQ, and then you have international markets beyond. Specifically, if you're an entrepreneur, are there certain markets that are more beneficial if it's your first IPO?
I think there are specific markets that are more beneficial, whether it's your first or it's your 10th. And those are going to be U.S. senior exchange listed. So that, and there's, and I want to also educate everybody, there's a myth around this, Dave, that you can't be an emerging growth, middle size, small cap or micro cap company and go public on a senior exchange. I'm here to tell you.
What are the senior exchanges? So let them know what the senior exchanges are.
NASDAQ Capital Markets, New York Stock Exchange American, and now newly emerging is the CBOE, which is the old Chicago Board of Exchange. They've just recently opened up to be a senior exchange listed trade, which means that institutions have the ability to affect trades anywhere in the world on a senior exchange traded platform. So that would distinguish itself from a lower exchange, or the microcaps typically are traded on the over-the-counter markets, which is not even truly a senior exchange. So we avoid anything to do with the OTC markets. There's nothing wrong with them, but it's not the right fit for us as an investor. And for an entrepreneur, they don't get access to the two of the most critical benefits of being public: capital from institutional support and liquidity on the bulletin board, which is the OTC markets, right? A lot of companies may start there to look to graduate, and we do that. We help them uplist, if you will, because they don't get the benefits that are really there and they're available. We also work with foreign issuers. Last year, more foreign issuers went public in the US than domestic US companies in the small cap and micro cap space. So we work, I'm heading next week to Singapore. We're meeting with a number of companies in the Asia Pacific that are all interested in accessing. So we invest in those companies as well. But for this particular discussion, the sole focus is on a senior exchange, and I wouldn't advise anybody go anywhere else.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as credibility goes, why I chose to help me communicate with our community in the degree of expertise that you had, I believe you the first person to take a company public on the Chicago Exchange. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
And two, I talked about this shitty market. How many in your experience this year, for example, or last year, 2023 and now 2024, percentage-wise, how many companies are going public today on those senior markets comparatively to years past?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, there's a cycle in the markets, Dave, right? And, you know, I've been around this long enough. We've seen our cycles in all different sectors. The IPO market right now is suffering significant decline in access to capital and liquidity. There's more money sitting on the sidelines in the way of institutional capital, even in private equity and venture capital, just given the complexity of geopolitical, inflation, interest rates, so on and so on. So the IPO market currently is at one of its lowest in 30 years. In comparison, 2021, in the middle of a pandemic, was one of the best years we've seen in 20 years. So, you know, what we're waiting for is for the rebound of those markets. But even in this kind of difficult, you know, distressed market, we did 6 IPOs last year and up listings. We invested a significant amount of capital in those companies. We demonstrated about over a 40% return gross, 29% return to our investors. So in distressed markets, we're more valuable because of our knowledge, our experience, and our access to capital than we are in fluid markets. Either market, we're making money, right? And and being able to do that so that everybody wins. We have more demand for capital right now than we have capital to deploy. And when we're deploying capital, it's really based upon the ability to demonstrate that that company has a clear pathway to an IPO. And I think this is really important for your listeners, Dave, right? I'm on both sides. I'm on the issuer side and I'm on the investor side. They both need to understand that during a difficult market, valuation will be lower, access to capital will be lower, but the benefits are still possible of listing even in a difficult market like this to access liquidity, access capital to get listed, and for investors to also make a significant return on investment if the investment is structured properly.
And one of the things that I use you for with the entrepreneurs that I have is that anticipation of cycles is an enormous advantage of making money. And what I've learned about going public is that when the markets do turn, very few companies are prepared. And we all have seen this, that there's really shitty companies just because they were prepared to go public, that when the markets turn, there was nobody else around. So they end up with, you know, billion-dollar market caps, liquidity, and they end up having enough money actually to make themselves not shitty anymore. And so one of the things that I recommend to people that are thinking about it is, hey, go reach out to Peter on LinkedIn or email him or ask him for help, because he's one of the best advisors at this stage when the markets are difficult. He's still taking company publics now, but more importantly, he can prepare you for when the markets turn and you're going to be one of the few instead of the tail. You're going to be at the, oh my God, where can we put our money? The markets are going crazy. And, you know, people with great ideas that are ready to go end up getting flooded with capital in the markets. This is historically true. And one of the things I love about you, you're the first person I know that is thinking ahead of the game and advise people in a manner. Now, we're about halftime and we haven't won yet, but we're winning right now at halftime in my situational knowledge. Let me go ahead and hand it off to Nick. Let's reset the room. Let's take questions because we're loading up with comments and questions. We're actually on the streaming side setting records on all the platforms. So many people must be interested in your expertise, which I'm very excited about. So real quickly, I want to remind everyone, Peter Goldstein, MS Capital, please, he is extremely abundant. He is a close friend of mine who is pouring into our community of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. And all of us are interested. I can see by the comments, I know by my meetups. Like I said, I had over 100 people in Times Square and people were asking me about going public because we're sitting in Times Square and NASDAQ sign going and all the things going on there and at the VIP dinner. So please reach out. He has a book, Hold It Up, Entrepreneurs IPO. So if you're an entrepreneur, small business, if you're a microcap, a mid-market company, you can get on the senior exchanges. You just need the right mentor, someone who's been there before that does it, to ask them for directions. And he's an investor himself. And so if you understand the capital side, everybody wins. And I love that he's community and abundant oriented, that he's looking at the stakeholders, not the shareholders. Abundant mindset is one that's so aligned with what I do. And it'll be nice to have, even at the collab, I know we're going to be collaborating with entrepreneurs at YouTube Theater on July 19th. Even guys like Dane Cook and Rob Riggle, Marsh Falk in the financial business, Baron Davis, a huge investor. They all want to meet Peter. They all have the same questions that even I have. Someone who has made a ton and lost a ton and had finally found my Sherpa, the incredible Peter Goldstein, to guide me up a mountain of success that could be created in any market, the shitty ones like now or the great ones like 2021. So I'm going to hand it off to Nick for 1 minute to reset the room, and then we will go and get questions from our community. So thank you, Peter, for holding on at halftime. Go take a stretch, and we'll be with 1 minute.
Beautiful. And thank you so much, David and Peter, for obviously an incredible first half of value. And I want to remind everybody, make sure to not only reach out to Peter on LinkedIn to get the digital copy of his book, The Entrepreneur's IPO, but of course, reach out to David as well, which will just be via email, david@dmeltzer.com, as David will be more than happy to make sure you get a copy of his book as well. And as we're here at halftime of the Taking Your Company Public Training and Power Hour, we are now going to transition over to the questions. So for everybody online, make sure that you are putting these in the chat. And for everybody live here on Clubhouse, make sure that as we continue to share the room, we're also bringing our questions by using the hand in the lower right-hand corner of the screen to request to join the stage. And then, of course, we will aim to bring you up. And with that said, gentlemen, I know Peter's back from his quick stretch, ready to rock and roll for our second half. I love it. And I'm going to go ahead and we're going to take the first question here live on Clubhouse and go ahead and pass it over to Mike. So, Mike, it's great to see you. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask David and Peter your question.
I'm doing great.
So my question is for Peter, what's the competitive advantage for a company with going public, from your perspective?
What's the competitive advantage of going public, Peter?
Yeah, thanks. I think the most misunderstood one is the opportunity for awareness and visibility. There's no greater marketing tool that I know than the ability to announce that you're a public company to the world and to create that credibility that comes with that, given all of the transparency, the governance, the controls, the regulatory compliance that you've had to go through to be able to reach that point. So that's one that is not spoken about as much. The more obvious ones are access to capital, right? And then that liquidity that comes with that. And I think the next one that I would focus on is the ability to use your stock as currency, right? We want to attract human capital in this world and maintain and prolong the upside for all of those people that are part of our organization. So you can reward them with stock options, you know, and an employee stock option plan that retains, motivates, and rewards the people that work within your organization.
Amazing. Let me, Nick, if you want mine, I'll take a question from online. We got somebody pouring in here. Peter, what are the common characteristics a successful company that went public or goes public compared to the red flags of ones that have difficulties?
Yeah, I love that. So it starts with fundamentals, right? You know, the market and the street are very, very savvy about being able to determine what is a true growth company and what is one that is based on kind of sizzle and so substance versus sizzle, right? You want to have fundamentals in place. You want to be able to hit growth metrics quarter after quarter after quarter and exceed those. So being able to know when you're preparing to go public that for the next 18 to 24 months, you have the ability to outperform the expectations that you've set and the market would expect by just fundamental performance, you know, growth and whatever those key metrics are for your business. You want to be able to demonstrate and announce and show the progress that you're making towards providing an exceptional return for investors.
Amazing. Where do we want to go next?
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and take the next question off of Clubhouse. I know Brent is always ready to rock and roll with some incredible questions to bring the best out of course, not only David, but Peter. So Brent, it's great to see you. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Happy Friday. Love to be here. Thank you, David. Thank you, Peter. Just thirst for knowledge, you know, a young entrepreneur myself. Questions about your first company. You said 23 years old and your exit was 30. Did you start with the end in mind? When did this exit become something that you wanted to do? And then why?
Talking about exiting, or did you question?
I heard it. Yeah. Yeah, Brent, awesome. Thank you. You know, this is evolution of an entrepreneur. You know, I was in New York City. I've always known I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I took the leap. I took the risk to start my own business. I didn't have an exit in mind at that time. What really happened over the course of 6 years was I saw significant success. but I also reached a plateau where I realized this wasn't my passion. I made money, I did well, right? I created, before there was farm to table, I created a sector in New York City with specialty food and perishable distribution. But I got to a point where I knew I had a bigger calling and I wanted to do something different and more. So it really wasn't with an exit in mind. Knowing now, right, had I known what I'd known, you know, 30 years ago, any business I start now, I start with the exit in mind. And then I work backwards. How am I building the value such that we are more valuable upon an exit? Not that I am going to have a strategy in place that I'm going to execute upon, but to any of the entrepreneurs that are out there, going through the practice of building your organization as if you were preparing for an exit will add exponential value to your organization.
That's awesome. Nick, where do we want to go next, online or to the other?
I was going to say, let's take one from online and then we'll come back live to Clubhouse.
Sounds good to me. All right, Peter, what type of business models are best served not going public or private? Which ones are better positioned when they go public? So I think business models is the question. Are there certain business models, industry sectors, or businesses that are better suited to stay private, or are there some that are better suited to go public?
Yeah, I think it's specific to the organization. I'm a generalist. I've just done just about every sector with the exception of mining or natural resource, because it's a different type of a company structure. It really is organized around your goals. Do you have an organic growth plan that's going to attract and have a value to outside investors? And or will you couple that with an M&A strategy to be able to grow and to be able to strengthen your organization? So it's a, if you look at the market, right, it's made up of all types of companies. And so I'm a believer that just about any company with the right organizational goals and objectives can benefit from being public at the right stage of their development. So we look at market caps as a distinction. Small cap is 1 billion from at the top, right, down to 300 million. Micro cap is 300 million to 50 million. That's our area of focus. That's a real wide berth of valuations, right? 50 million to a billion, right? That encompasses the majority of, you know, mid-cap, you know, mid-market companies. So it really is specific to the goals and objectives. You know, I can tell you going public is not for everybody. It is not something that should be taken lightly as an easy road. It is very, very, very challenging. So you want to have a commitment. And this is where I would leave, you know, the answer is that it is a true commitment to wanting to go public and to be able to grow as a sustainable public company, providing stakeholder value.
Stakeholder value, the fastest and easiest way to get to where you want to be, regardless of where that is to find someone that's already there, that's already paid the dummy tax. And whether it's real estate or the markets, the dummy tax get really, really expensive, as Peter and I both know. So you might as well find someone that sits in that situation and ask them for directions. That's why we've made it through the third quarter here of our Friday training, which we've done for almost 25 years. And we are blessed. I just want to reset the room here in the fourth quarter because we're winning in the third quarter. But as Peter and I know, that doesn't mean anything. We want to make it all the way to the end as winners, as entrepreneurs. And we're talking about how to take a company public, why to take a company public, what to do to take a company public. And we have the greatest expert that I have been able to find, someone who has sat in that position, paid the dummy tax, and is giving directions, not only giving free book, Entrepreneurs IPO, go to LinkedIn, check out Peter Goldstein, but also check out MS Capital. And for me, please, everybody, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. I will add my book. I will pay for the book and shipping. I'll sign it even if you want. Just go ahead and reach out. We will be traveling around. I want to thank everyone here in New York yesterday. We keynoted Propelify. We had a holding court at Propelify looking over the city from the west side. And then we went into the city with over 100 people in New York City in Times Square, and then we had a VIP dinner with incredible speakers and guests. And I want to thank everyone. If you want to join us, just email us. We will be back at SoFi for Secret Mastermind. We will be with Dane Cook, Rob Riggle, Marshall Faulk, Darren Davis, all types of greats like Peter Goldstein at YouTube Theater. We're going to Madison Square Garden the next day and then Las Vegas at WealthCon the next day. So follow us, join us. That's why we are here, to be of service and of value to you. Uh-oh, Nick, something went. Can you go ahead and keep the room rolling?
Absolutely. And as we continue to do this little reset, everybody put your fours up as we are heading into the fourth quarter. But even furthermore, as we continue to share all of the room with our friends, family, colleagues, anybody that we believe would benefit.
Sorry, what are the questions we should be asking with the end goal in mind? So if we know our end goal, what are some of the questions we should be asking ourselves in order to facilitate a success in going public?
So I think I got it, Dave. So what are the questions to be asking yourselves internally when you're preparing for an exit?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so I think it's first of all, what type of an exit, right? Are you looking for a trade sale? Are you looking to a merger? Are you looking, you know, to be acquired or to merge and or to end up as a publicly listed company? Those are all slightly different strategies. But I think internally, you want to be aligned around valuation, right? So I would educate yourself around where are comparable companies being positioned. Just like if you're looking at real estate, you know, you want to go look up and see what the market is and see what local, you know, sales have been within that comparable size, shape, and scope. So you can do that with your company. You don't need to spend a ton of money to go get a third party independent valuation. Just be able to look at your historical financial performance, your projected financial performance, maybe do some cash flow, you know, or discounted cash flow analysis, but then look at comps. You know, there's plenty of data available on public companies and on private companies on where they're valued. And so if you have a sense of value, right, kind of minimum, you know, and maximum, so you create a range of expectation and you're aligned with your partner on that, that's a great place to start. Because often, you know, money can get in the way of friendships and partnerships where there's different expectations and different goals. You know, so then I would look at if you're going to do something like a merger or go public, you know, are all parties committed to staying on in their current role or maybe expanding or changing their role? It may be that the founder is no longer the right CEO and he wants to become a chairman or a board member, so on and so on. So personal expectations around valuation, roles and responsibility, I think are really critical to have a clear understanding so that there's no kind of grittiness around the goal that you're going to find out at the last minute, right? Or at the 12th hour. You want to know with clarity going into your exit strategy that you and your partners and your shareholders are aligned.
No doubt. So many lessons to learn. Life is about lessons, and taking a company public and being public is about lessons, and the lessons will keep on coming until we learn them. Pain is an indicator that you have a lesson to learn, a better place to be, a better situation to be in. Those lessons are contained in Peter Goldstein's book. Check it out, Entrepreneur's IPO. Those lessons are also contained in the Situational Knowledge Experience and Relationship Capital that Peter and I both have. And so make sure you reach out to get the directions to where you want to be or better, and go ahead and get that book for free, The Entrepreneur's IPO. Reach out to Peter Goldstein. Reach out to me, david@dmeltzer.com. We're coming into the last 9 minutes, my friend. We're still winning, Peter. Don't worry. So we're going to hand it off to the Nick Wom, the well-oiled machine of young Nick, guiding us in the efficiency of time management and productivity. Nick, who is up next?
We are going to stay live here on Clubhouse, and I'm going to pass it over to Ramona, who had just joined the stage. So, Ramona, it's great to see you. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask Peter and David your question.
Hello, David Meltzer. Thank you so much for, I just actually popped in, but everything that I just heard was absolutely phenomenal. I absolutely loved the point, the major point that you made about partnerships. So when is it that would be the best, the absolute best time to sit down as collectively, as a whole, and determine who is a best fit for what positions before you're actually forced to make that decision due to different circumstances and issues and problems that may arise in the business or the company.
The fluidity of making a choice of when to bring in the proper people, management, maybe even structure, Peter, is there a format in your book or otherwise to help people, because you do have the experience, a framework of a timeline of when we should do what? Is there a timeline? I know, I'm sure it's adaptable, but is there a framework that you provide or do provide?
There's a framework in the book, Dave, about organizing a team and looking at the members of that team and their roles and responsibilities. But Ramona, I think your question's a little bit different. And I'm all about be the change that you want to be now. Right. So I'm actually
very Gandhi-esque, by the way, Peter.
Yes.
I like it. You're a ferocious Buddha. Peter Goldstein is an iconic ferocious Buddha. I got to put a little clip on that and say, can you imagine 10 years ago, a guy from Wall Street actually answering a question this way? Boom. There it is. The Ramona. It's for all of us. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, I love it, Dave. So blending a little philosophy and a little bit of Gandhi in there. But it's as entrepreneurs, we're action oriented. And so those are tough discussions, Ramona, to have. But you want to really, to me, you want to have clarity and know where you have deficiencies, right? So if you have a weakness in your organization, look at plugging that. You may not solve it now. You know, the timeline may be, you know, years away from your exit. But if you can start with the awareness and start with the tough discussion, I can almost promise you, and this is why I say preparing for an exit will make you a better organization. It will make you a better entrepreneur, and it will provide exponential value.
Wow. I agree. I also will tell you that when making those decisions, you're either humble, like Peter/Gandhi/Ferocious Buddha, my friend here, or you're about to be. So remember, in all decisions as an entrepreneur, especially concerning IPO, you're either humble or you're about to be. And that wisdom as well will help you be a ferocious Buddha. All right, Nick, we have 5 minutes, Dougie Fresh. 5 minutes, Dougie Fresh. We're on it or off. The amazing Wom Nick, a well-oiled machine running our Friday trainings. I've been doing this for almost 25 years. And I will tell you that this has to be one of the most informative trainings that I've done and partnered with. Incredible the amount of people that are interested in this topic and subject matter. Peter, I'm going to be following up with you to create a training course now because of how many people. But before I get to maybe what will be our one or last two questions, MS Capital.
Yes.
A lot of people ask me, you know, about my involvement, why I'm involved, who's involved. But most importantly, most people ask me, what exactly do they do to get such great returns in an area that so many people don't know about? What you talk about both sides of, you know, creating a win-win situation. What exactly does MS Capital do?
This is a great way to bring home, you know, our time in the playing field now, because there's no topic I'm more passionate about from an investor standpoint. So I created MS Capital for two reasons. One, there's a huge demand in the market for bridge or special purpose capital to provide entrepreneurs a gateway to be able to bring in the necessary capital to go public or to do a merger or an acquisition, a financing, some type of a special event. And so within doing that, we have opened up the fund to accredited investors in a space, in the sense that we're democratizing, Dave, right? So typically, as you said in your open, this was a institutionally monopolized, one-sided investment space. We've demonstrated that we can do that properly, where everybody wins and get great returns. So if you're an accredited investor and you want to participate in what was once only available to institutional investors, as a fund, we're able to bring in 99 investors, and those investors have a requirement, of course, to be accredited. It's a very low bar of entry. You know, there's more information available on the website, but it is a very tactical, kind of niche-oriented boutique fund that is rare, I would say one of its kind, that we've been able to create after I've been a student of the market for 35 plus years.
Incredible, and I'm just blessed to be a part of it. I still am learning every single day. especially after this training. I'm going back and reading the Entrepreneur's IPO because it's been so long, and I've been blessed to be a part of that as well, in the mindset, the heart set, in the handset of being an entrepreneur and wanting to go public and what it actually takes to go public. I believe, Nick, we have time for one last question. Once again, reach out to Peter if you're interested in the book. He'll send it to you free. Email me. I also will do the same. I will sign a book, send it to you, pay for shipping in the book. But if you're interested in MS Capital as well and participating with Peter and I to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun, please reach out to Peter as well on all of the different platforms. If you can't get a hold of him, I'm easy to get a hold of. You can email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com. All right, Wamnick, we got 2 minutes. Let's get a quick question.
Absolutely. Taking us to the clock hits zero, I'm going to pass it over to Colleen here live on Clubhouse. Colleen, feel free to unmute yourself and ask your question.
Thanks, Nick. Happy Friday, everybody. Quick question here as we finish off. What question is usually not asked by somebody looking for an investor? What's that question that you feel like people don't ask enough when looking for an investor?
What question is not asked? What should we be asking?
Hi, Colleen. Happy Friday. I love that question. It's so simple as, how do you demonstrate to me as an investor that I'm going to get a clear return on my investment? What are the assumptions that are made? And how and when will my return come back greater and more liquid than the time that I put it into the company? And you'd be amazed how many people have made investments as an investor into companies without understanding those basic fundamentals, right? We vet the company, we do our diligence, and we have a demonstrable understanding that there will be a liquidity event, and we have protected ourselves in the event that there is a default. So just those basics are like the most pragmatic, you know, information I can give you that most people don't ask when they're investing or as an investor into a company and a stakeholder.
And just to add, as the clock turns 10 here in New York City, it's turned 7 a.m. in California where we normally are. Well, not normally, we're in the Philippines and Japan and Canada and all the other cities we're in usually. But more importantly, I will add, the most important question is to ask for help. And that's why I do these trainings for over 24 years, coming on 25. And that's why I find the people that can help the most, because this is a community of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. To a testament is Peter Goldstein, because he's helping me and so many of us. And it's a blessing to have you, Peter. So remember, if you're going to ask one question, ask for help. Ask for what you need, ask for where you want to go, and find the person who sits in the situation that you want to be in that's already paid the dummy tax. And you're looking at the two biggest dummies I know, Peter Goldstein and David Meltzer. We have paid a lot of taxes to get to where we are today. And you can get the directions and avoid the potholes, mistakes, setbacks, and failures that we have experienced. And we're here giving it away for free. Just get his book, get his guidance, join MS Capital, join me, david@dmeltzer.com. Look up Peter Goldstein. He's there on LinkedIn. Get his book, Entrepreneurs IPO. Everyone, thank you so much on Clubhouse. I'm going to let Nick close out the room on Clubhouse. I'll close out the room on all the other platforms. Peter Goldstein, you are incredible. Hang with me for a moment. Everyone on Clubhouse, thank you so much. Remember, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Nick, go ahead, close out Clubhouse. I'll remain on all of the platforms to close it out myself. God bless everyone. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you, Wam, Nick. All right, Peter, thank you so much. We are blessed to be here. Just to complete this, any last takeaways that we missed? Is there anything that I didn't cover beyond MS, beyond the Entrepreneurs IPO book? What did I miss? What takeaway do you want people to have?
I think we were pretty thorough, Dave. What I would add is that, like you, I'm committed to building out a community of global entrepreneurs. So I want to be able to add value at any stage where you are in the journey. Feel free to interact with me and reach out for me. I am passionate, you know, as an entrepreneur and guiding and helping and assisting others, and want to make sure that it's clear that, you know, I'm an open resource to be able to do so.
I love it. Are you interested in doing my training course with me on entrepreneurs IPO, how to take a company public, why to take a company public. Are you in?
I'm in, brother.
All right. Well, let's make sure to put it on your action item list. Call me this weekend because I don't let grass grow underneath my feet. When I come up with a great idea and see what people are listening for, we got to jump on that immediately. Reach out to Peter Goldstein, everyone. He's on every platform, on LinkedIn. You can email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Thank you so much, Peter, for joining us. What an incredible training it's been. I'm super excited to get on a plane now. I feel like my day is fulfilled that we poured into the community about something they actually are interested in. Thank you so much. Just to remind everyone, I'm on the road 200 cities a year. I want to thank everyone in New Jersey and New York, but most importantly, come and collaborate with me and Dane Cook. We're going to be taking questions from everyone at YouTube Theater at SoFi. We have a SoFi mastermind to warm up the week on the 15th on Monday. On the 19th, go to Ticketmaster. Come and join us at YouTube Theater, Dane Cook and I. It is going to be an amazing experience. That's why Rob Riggle wanted to host it, MC us. That's why I have so many special guests. Some of my friends, Baron Davis, Marshall Falk, Diane Cannon, Maria Diamond. It goes on and on and on. I can't even list out. You just got to go to Ticketmaster, look up The Collab, look up David Meltzer, Dane Cook, The Collab. Get your tickets now. That is a jam-packed weekend. Not only will we be at YouTube Theater, we'll be at Madison Square Garden with Mr. Wonderful, with my boy Damon John, with A-Rod, Poppy. We got the Yankees and the Red Sox there. We have Tim Story and many, many others. We'll be doing a VIP dinner in the city and speaking at Madison Square Garden. And then on the way home, I'll stop in Las Vegas, WealthCon with Ryan Pineda. We are and am wealthy, happy, worthy. What are we doing to interfere with it? Let's figure it out together. Only one thing. Reach out to me, david@dmeltzer.com. I will sign my book, send it to you, pay for shipping. I will send you the Entrepreneurs IPO book guide exercise. It's all for free. If it's free, it's me. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Remember, everyone, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. We'll see you later. Thanks.